looked at the first shear in the Seder of Shiurim for Hilchot Avilot, and that was Bikur Cholim. So this week we look at the Dinim of Kriya, that which again is not strictly speaking part of Hilchot Avilut, that's but a prelude to Avilut. But in any event, we know from experience and what we've seen is that it kind of goes hand in hand with being an Avel, is that the Avilim do Kriya on their clothes. So we'll touch on those issues as well. Look at some of the related issues as far as that's concerned. So let's start off with how do we know that there's a mitzvah to do kriya? So the Gemara in Moed Katan says Avel chayav bit kriya, to kamalu rachmanu livnei Aaron lo tifromu. So when Nadav and Avihu died, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the remaining members of the family, lo tifromu, that you mustn't tear your clothes. Michlal, so the implication is, to kule alma michayfe, that usually when a person loses a relative, that they have to tear their clothes. Now the Ramban and other Rishonim discuss whether this is a din midoraita or midrabanan. So on the face of it, it would seem that it's got a doraita dimension to it, at least in terms of the whole din is built on a pasuk. Vigdechem lo tifromu, that implies that the Torah is talking about a chiyuv of kriya. So the Ramban says it doesn't make sense to me that it should be Doraita, because in actual fact it's Midivrei Sofrim. Nowhere does it say that you need to do Kriya. There's an implication from what was said to Bnei Aaron. So it's only an asmachta. So the Ramban says the fact that it's ossered to Bnei Aaron, the most that we can really derive from the pasuk is that everybody else is permitted to do this. Why do we need a permission to do it? Because otherwise, because they didn't observe any mourning. This was during the consecration of the Mishkan. That so they weren't to keep any avilut, that they were excluded from avilut. But generally speaking, avilut applies. Now, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that everybody else is allowed to tear their clothes? Because otherwise there'd be a concern of baltashchit, that you can't just go around tearing your clothes. Therefore, I might, it's reasonable to suggest that in actual fact, what the Torah is telling us is simply that they're not allowed to tear their clothes, but everybody else is allowed to. Elavadai asmachta ba'almahu. So the pasuk is only an asmachta. Udamin anami avel shelo parav shelo pirem chayav mita dichtiv lo tamutu. In actual fact, the Gemara says that an avel that didn't grow his hair long and didn't do kriya, that's his chayav mita. That's because it says, with regard to Bnei Aaron, for lo tamutu, you won't die, meaning don't tear your clothes, and therefore you won't die. If you do tear your clothes, you will die. And the Gemara sort of learns out from that anybody else, if they don't, they will also die. Again, asmachta ba'almahi. Mitazu onesh midivrei sofrim kinyan kol avel divrei chachamim chayav mita. This is just mita midivrei sofrim. Doesn't mean to say that it's a din to oraita. So the Ramban and the Rishonim in general hold that even though there's a scriptural basis for the din of kriya, nevertheless it's a din which is midrabanan. Now we've got a number of questions with regard to kriya. The first is, what is the optimal time for doing this kriya? That's what we're saying. We know that Avel Chayav Bit Kriya. What stage does they become Chayav in the Kriya? So is that a question?
No.
Well, let's see. So the first thing is a Gemara in Eilim HaGalkin, which says, Damar Shmuel, kol kera she'enu b'shat chimum, eino kera. Okay, so it needs to be b'shat chimum. Shat chimum indicates when a person is feeling the distress intensely. That's meaning that if it's left until a time when the person is more calm about things, then it's not fully valid. I say not fully valid because we'll see that there is still such a thing as kriya that we'll see that. At the moment we're saying that's let's see what happens. Shat chimum seems to be when the person feels most distressed about it. We'll see. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Omrim tziduk hadinim yitziat neshama. So as soon as the person dies, we say tziduk hadin. Och shemagia ledayan emet. When you come to the line of dayan haemet in tziduk hadin, korea ha'avel. Then the avel does kriya. So this would be indicating that shat chimum is b'shat ptira. That's obviously this is when the avelim are present. If they're present b'shat yitziat neshama, that is the moment of chimum. That's when they're most distraught. That's they say tziduk hadin, and they do kriya as part of that. The Beit Yosef quotes the smak that gives a longer window of opportunity. The katasmak misha mate lo mate, tarech likroa kodem shi yistom panei hamate. Okay, now the shach, that's in Shulchan Aruch, understands that means that yistom panei hamate means when the grave is covered. So until the shat chimum is till the grave is covered. Meaning it's true that there might be points which are when one feels more intensely the loss, and points within that where the loss has been reduced somewhat. But in general, that whole period of time between the Yitziat Neshama and the burial, that will be regarded as a Shat Chimum. And there's an assumption that's, which I think from observation that of being at many levayas is that rings true is that the intensity of grief that exists before the internment lessens after the internment. Very many times I've been at a levaya, there's sobbing and bawling during the hespedim, before they take the aron to the grave. By the time we come back from the graveside, that they've calmed down somewhat in terms of, emotionally, people have moved on to the next stage of grief. So Shat Chimum, the smak says, is until she's Tom Penei Hamet. So
can we say that he says, sorry, this, I was just on saying, from the smak sounds, Kodim she's Tom Penei Hamet, that's the last option. Rather than that's when he should.
Correct. Correct. That's what I'm saying.
Sounds like if this is the last option which you've got to do.
Correct. Prayer. Correct. That's
the first option would be chimum.
No, I think he's saying this is all part of shat chimum. I think that's I think so. That this is all the continuum of shat chimum. I think he's explaining what shat chimum is. Mm. It's not one discrete point on a timeline. But it's a period of time, and Shat Chimum ends when the with the burial.
This is the last option.
Yes, that's it. So we're saying the same thing. That's so that's when the kriya should ultimately be done. That's interestingly, some of the Sfardi poskim bring down that the minhag is to do it. That's after the kriya. That's when everybody gets back. Rav Avadia doesn't pass him that. After the kvura. So yes, that's Rav Avadia says it should be done beforehand, but he cites Sfardi practices to do it afterwards. Dayan Toledano in his sefer also says that the minhag is to do it just after the kavura, even though they both opine that in actual fact the optimal time to do it is before the kavura. Now,
I think so.
Possibly. That's so. In any event, it seems that there's no Kriya after that. After she stomped her mate. However, there's a Gemara which says as follows: "Vatani isi avoa de Rabbi Zera, v'amrina achva de Rabbi Zera, kami de Rabbi Zera. Misha ein lo chaluk likra." So the person doesn't have anything to do kriya on, right? He's wearing borrowed clothes. V'nizdamin lo betoch shiva korea, lachar shiva ein lo korea. That if he gets his own clothes during shiva, then he does kriya. After shiva, he doesn't. Ani Rabbi Zera batre by medvav marum v'chamishamatei mitzvah. Aval aviv v'imo or korea v'holeich. That's but for parents, that if you're doing kriya for parents, korei v'holeich, even after shiva, you still do kriya. Kitanya hi lichvod aviv v'imo. That's a din in kibud av va'im. In any event, what we're saying here is that even though we've said that kol kera she'eino b'shat chimum is not a valid kera, nevertheless, there seems to be a din that if you missed it, that in the first instance, you still do it subsequently. Now, it might well be that this second Gemara is understanding, you know, just giving us a broader definition of what Shiva, of what Shat Chimum is. That, you know, Shat Chimum is the whole 7 days. And therefore, if you didn't do it before the Kavura, you can still do it after the Kavura. The problem with that is, this would seem to be indicating that in actual fact, l'chatchila you can do it any time during the 7 days, because if that's shat chimum, then you can do it any time during the shat chimum. The other possibility is to say that, you know, perhaps there are two dinim here with kriya. One is a din of maaseh kriya, and the other is a din of having a beged karua. That's, so it might be that the maaseh of kriya hasn't been done properly, but nevertheless, there's a requirement to have a beged karua, and that's that you're doing. That's all from the lashon of the first Gemara, which was Einor Kera, might be that in actual fact that it doesn't have the status of a beged karua, but it's you still have to do a maaseh kriya at some stage. So, you know, you could say it either way round, but it's very possible there are two dinim here. We're going to come back to the two dinim as we look at further distinctions as well. In any event, the Gemara says that if you didn't do kriya during shiva, so for parents, korei v'holeich. So if we look in the Ramban, Torat Adam, we'll see that there are three opinions in the Rishonim what that means. Pershu ha-go'onim zal kol yud beit chodesh. So for Avaim, we're going to see repeatedly that in general, Avilus lasts only for Shloshim, but for Avvaim, it extends for the whole Yud Beit Chodesh. So therefore, the Gaonim hold that whilst the person still has the shame of an Avel, then you can do Kriya. For Harav Ramzal, Katav, Kol Shloshim Yom. No, it applies for the whole period of 30 days. That's possibly what the Rambam holds, is that the Avelut of Yud Beit Chodesh is different to the Avelut of Shloshim. The Avelut of Shloshim is classical Avelut, and beyond that, it's perhaps a din in Kibud Av Vaim.
So the Rambam here?
Rambam, Maimonides. Uval halachot omer korea lo'olam. And the Bahag says, in actual fact, you do Kriya forever. 5 years later, you got the opportunity to do Kriya, you do Kriya. That's umistavra korea lo'olam. And the Ramban says that makes sense. Shekim Atsin Shasu Bichui Lolam. One of the dinim of Kriya for Avvaim is that you're never allowed to mend it properly. You've got a garment you've done Kriya on. You can never sew it up properly. That's you can tack it up, but you can't sew it up properly. That's so we see that there's even beyond Yud Beit Chodesh, there's some sort of din of Kriya where or Beged Karua as far as Avvaim is concerned. It doesn't make sense that the person can die and nobody will ever do Kriya for them.
So
So it seems to me that, you know, sometimes you have it, you know, person, you know, might, you know, 5 years down the line say, you know what, when my mother died, you know, I didn't do Kriya, you know, I wasn't so firm, I was resistant to it, you know, now I should do Kriya. So the Kara, they still have a din of doing Kriya even 5 years, 5 years on.
Once you've done Kriya once, do you have to do it again and again and again?
No, but we're saying that this is talking about a person who didn't do Kriya when they should have done.
Okay, but once you've done it...
Yeah, once you've done it, you've done it.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, we'll see nuances, but essentially, yes. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens al kol ha'meitim lo shama lachar shloshim yom, eino koreya. So first is that if they don't hear, you have to be aware of the patira within 30 days of the death. And if you find out about what we call Shmua Rechoka, again, we'll have a shir on this in its own right, but Shmua Rechoka is where you hear about the death more than 30 days after it happens. So you only sit a reduced shiva and you don't do Kriya. Okay. Now, there are a lot of dinim, a lot of details to do with the Kriya. And let's look at the Gemara Moed Katan, where we're going to see seven or eight specific dinim. And we'll go through each of them. Some of them we'll deal with in detail. What we're going to see repeatedly is distinctions between Kriya for parents and Kriya for other relatives. When I say for parents, meaning a child mourning a parent, that's Kriya Lavei. That's when I did the Rav Alut exams, one of the favourite questions in the Hilchot Avelut exam was, you know, list five differences between Kriya for parents and Kriya for other relatives. So number one, Al Kol HaMeitim Kulam Korea Tefach. Right, the shear for Kriya is a Tefach. Al Aviv V'Alimo Ad She'igal Et Libo. But for parents, it's so that you uncover your chest. Amar Rabbi Abba, Maikra, Vayechazek David Bivgadav, Vayikra Aim. So we see where David did Kriya, he took hold of his clothes and he tore them. Vayin Achiza, and if it says he grabbed hold of them, Ein Achiza Pachot Mitefach. It means, you know, you're grabbing something, so that will obviously be a Tefach. Let's just look before we go on in the Gemara and what I've got marked here as point number four. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "I'll call amitim korea alav tefach beveged ha'elyon v'dayo." That's alav ivalimo korea kol begadav. That's so we'll deal with this, the number of begadim, in a moment. Afilu hulavush asara ad shem galel ibo, until he uncovers his chest. Now look at the Shach. Shach quotes a well-known din, or I'd say well-known minhag. It's not brought. It's not brought in the Gemara. Kasav Marshal Din Higin Dalav Veim Mekari Mitzad Samol Ve'Al Kol Shach Rovim Kegon Banav Ve'Chav Vakiv Mitzad Yamin. Okay, so we're possibly very familiar with that people doing Kriya for parents do it on the left side, and if they're doing it for Shakrovim, they do it on the right side, because the left side is supposedly where the heart is. V'chei matzati. V'kadav abach, d'chei noagim b'kilot, u'mikom akom, ahayinu mitzad ha-minhag. Aval midina mashman, mitzad she'korin al aviv, v'imor korin gam al Shakrovim, k'du mashman shasu poskim. There's no early source for this chiluk. It's a minhag to tear on the left hand side for parents. Carrying on in the Gemara. Second in, I'll call amitim kulan. So for all relatives, afilu lavush asara chalukin. Even if a person is wearing 10 shirts, Eino korea ala elyon. They only do kriya on the uppermost one. Ala viv v'alimo, but for parents, korea et kulan. They do kriya on all of them. V'apikra sutor eina ma'akefet. But the apikoren, doesn't matter. Now we'll see what the apikoren is in a minute. Let's just start with the first part of the din. The first part of the din is that for Shakrovim, So you just do the outermost garment. That's whereas for Alpha Aim, you tear all your garments. Adshim and Galit Libor. You have to get right. You have to get right through to the to the chest. Now the question is that the question comes up with regard to undergarments and overgarments, and what is this Parka Sutor that the Gemara is talking about? So let's look at the Tor. The Tor says as follows. So if for a parent you tore all your garments except for that garment, you're yotzei. Aval lechatchila katav arayvit shetzarich lekorah. Varamban katav shavilu lechatchila in tzarich lekorah. Now, I accept we still don't know what this apikoron is yet. But whatever it is, we've now got a machloket between the Ravid and the Ramban as to whether lechatchila you have to tear it. Because the Lashon and Gemara was, Vapikra sutor eina ma'akevet. Eina ma'akevet means that, seems to imply, if you didn't do it, it doesn't matter. It doesn't seem to indicate necessarily that you don't have to do it, but the Ramban understands that you don't have to do it, and that's how we paskin. So what is the Heiliger Apikarasut? So Peresh Rashi, Shehu Sudash al Roshov Nofel al Panav. So it's some sort of turban. You have sort of a turban that's presumably with long ends. And seeing it's not a real garment, you don't have to do kriya on it. So that's Rashi. So Rashi would hold that all other garments you do have to do kriya on. So the Bal Ha'aruch holds that it's essentially a vest. Okay, it's an undershirt. And the way he describes it, it's open at the shoulders. And when you put it on, you tie it at the shoulders. So we just pull the vest over our heads. But that's essentially what he's describing. Seeing as you're not wearing it as a regular garment, but it's just there to absorb sweat, so therefore you don't need to do kriya on it. So thus far we've got two understandings of what this Aparka Sutor is. And the Beit Yosef brings a smug, Katav Rabotin Shemit Sarfat Rigilinoma, Shamat Rona, Ein Bachi of Kriya, Shehim Idra Aparka Sutor. Now what's this Matrona? Matrona is Shu Sudar Ha'elyon, She'eno Elalit Sniut. So it's a Sudar Ha'elyon, it's some sort of cloak that you wear for tsniut. Tsniut doesn't particularly mean that for tsnius. But tsniut here means that sort of to cover yourself up. So we seem to be sort of understanding different types.
I didn't get that one.
It's some sort of overgarment which is just used. We're going to see essentially for protective purposes, that rather than as an item of fashion or perhaps an item that which defines one. That's we'll see as we go along. So in any event, what we've got is now three opinions. One is Shitat Rashi. Presumably, each of them will hold that the others are not correct. So Shitat Rashi is that you don't have to do kriya on your turban, but your vest and your overcoat you would have to do kriya on. That's or your cloak. That's the Aruch holds that you don't have to do on your vest. You do have to do presumably on your cloak. It's not clear what he would hold about the turban. I suspect he would also hold that you don't do it on the turban, but that's not needs to be mentioned because that's not an item of clothing. It just goes on your head. And the smug says that you don't need to do on your cloak, but you need to do it on your vest and probably also not on your turban. If you think about this cloak, sort of, I picture it as being sort of some sort of cloak. You know, a person's got his clothes, and when they go outside, you know, they put their cloak on to keep themselves dry and clean. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: fine, that we know from the Gemara. Question is, what is this Heiliger Aparkasuto? That's Yesh Mepharshim Shu Beged Hazeh Hadavuk Libsaro. That was the Aruch. Yesh Mepharshim Dahenu Beged Elyon Shekorin Kappa, which was the smug. Upashat Aminhag Shelolik Kro Kappa Al Shum Mate Afir Alavivimo Velikro Alavivimo Gam Hachaluk Shekorin Kamiza or Shemiz. Now, yeah. Now, let's think this through carefully. So we're saying, so we've brought two definitions of what this aparkasutor might be. And you say the, but also if you're saying the minhag is, you never tear the kappa. The kappa seems to be the coat, right? So your coat you never do kriya on, right? Because for aviv v'imo it's not necessary. And whatever's not necessary for avvaim isn't regarded as a garment for Sharkrovim. That's the point. In terms of the two go hand in hand. If it's not a beg, if it doesn't require Kriya for Avvaim, then you can't be Yotze Kriya with it for Sharkrovim. That's so even on Avvaim you don't. Velikral Avivimo Gam Hechaluk Shekorin Kamiza. So the chemise, which seems to be a shirt, that I'm not sure that it's a vest. You see, this is the lack of clarity that's here. He's talking about the kamiza, which isn't necessarily the beged hazeah. So, but he's saying it's clearly it's something of an undergarment, but it might not be the the beged hazeah in terms of, you know, if you think about medieval dress. You know, the person might have had a tunic, and underneath the tunic, a chemise, and underneath the chemise, some sort of vest. So even though the chemise is underneath the tunic, it still needs kriya because that's the din for avayim. However, the Rama says we do not eluay noagim kain. That's not the minhag of Ashkenazim. Ela in korin hechaluk shel pishton shu beged hazeah. So he says we don't tear the chaluk shel pishtan shu, the vest. Now, so it's not clear. It seems that maybe the Rama is understanding that actually the chemise is the beged hazeah. That's, and that his understanding is that Mechaber is saying that the chemise, which is the beged hazeah, you do kriya on. And the Rama is saying you don't. V'lo hasar bal ha'elyon, nor the overcoat. So the Rama is being very makel here. Okay, the Rama is saying both garments you don't do kriya on. That's, so he's, you know, it's interesting why he's being so makel, whereas these are mutually exclusive interpretations. Avashab gadav korea ba'avivimo v'shametim hamabusha elyon tachat asarbal. Right, so you can't do it on the sarbal. Now, being the coat. Now, there's discussion here in the Taz and the Shach, essentially, what is the definition of this sarbal? In terms of, is it, quite simply, is it an overcoat? Or is it some sort of, you know, essentially what we would call a jacket? And this is really where the question, you know, comes in practical sense, that, you know, does an Avel Alavaim have to do kriya on his jacket? That, and conversely, can an Avel Sharkrovim do kriya on the jacket or not? So let's look at the Taz and then the Shach. It's a longish Taz, but it's not so difficult. So the Rama says you don't do it on the beged ha'elyon shekorin kappa. Sorry, that was the mechab. I'm using translating sniut here as for protective purposes. The chen pasat bismak shein korin haglima ha'elyon shekorin grink. That's וזהו עצב שכתב רבה שאין נוהגים לקרוא השר בעל העליון. רצון ממש, מה שקוראים בלעז, the rock. Okay, your record. That's v'sefer ma'asat binyan. It's a jacket, a jacket, but over jacket. That's the point. It's Yiddish. Rekel is Yiddish.
Lano rekel is a lot.
Yeah. V'sefer ma'asat binyamin katuv shaharak tzarich kriya min hadin. So the ma'asat binyamin says it does need kriya. Shu malbush gamor. Because that's a proper item of clothing. V'lo barama kan niftor el malbush shekorin shul mantle. Right, so he's saying there's something which was called a shul mantle. Shu beged shel shul makif adam saviv tzavaro mishtal shel lemata sheolchim bo ketzatz kainim bikraka letzniut beveit hakneset. So it seems there was this Polish minhag that the old people they wore some sort of cape. It seems like in shul that's
mantle is a coat.
Yes, that's a mantle is a cover. That's this is a shul mantle. So you wore it in shul. I don't know if it was because it was drafty or perhaps as a sign of kavod or something like that. Here it says litzniut. That's maybe the shul was dusty. I don't know what it was, but they just put it on in shul. It wasn't a regular item of clothing. So that's what the Masat Binyamin holds, that you don't have to do kriya on. That's, but he says the Masat Binyamin doesn't bring any proof for that. It's very strange, Bainai. To the shul mantle, Enoch in the Beit HaKfaro, who shows up to a Leviah wearing their shul mantle? Why would the Rama be talking about something that people only wear for services? That's Kyoto mantle hu lechavod vehidur. Right? That's it's a sign of distinction. For the over 80s in shul, they wear a shul mantle. Fein ha'avel holech beveged kaseh be'et sarato. You wouldn't wear that when you're an avel. It's a sign of distinction. When you're an avel, you don't wear your best clothes. Uva'aguda perakele megalkin kataf behed yevzeh l'shono. Yeish mefarshim kumor kapa betsarfat or sarbal. So now he's saying that the Aguda says that what's this upper garment? It's something which you don't wear in the house. You wear it outside only for protective purposes, either to protect you against the cold or the rain. Vahare gam harok ein adam lo shor beveitor. So a rock, a person doesn't wear in the house. Over sefer hanal mevitivrei aguda elu elu lirayalo va'amar shaguda lo nikaven laze geinot harok benimse elam bendina zot vet paleil mo'otal se to mabakach devadai din echad lahem dekach lanu malbush harok k'mo kapa rock, call it what you like, it's the same thing bimdinot acherot de idi v'idi malbush elyon karilo, talking about over garments to ein hadam holech bo beveito, which a person won't wear in the house. And if you do sometimes wear it around the house, fine, you do that, but that's not what most people do. The Taz says, I don't think you should tear the rock. Because in actual fact, that if you do kriya on the rock, it brings you to a kula. Because for other relatives, you only do the beget ha'elyon. You can't just tear the rock. Because you have to tear on something which you definitely have to do kriya on. That's how can you tear this maktorin, which is some sort of overgarment. So the Taz says the definition of a beged for purposes of kriya is something which you wear all the time. If you don't wear it all the time, then it hasn't got the din of a beged, as far as this is concerned.
So how does he explain that doesn't help to understand what mean the Ramah? what does the end
of
Taz want to say?
He's just telling us what this is, saying strength of Rama perfectly. But so where the Rama says, Ela Ein Korin HaChaluk V'lo HaSar Bal HaElyon. So he's explaining to us what this Sar Bal HaElyon is. That's the Sar Bal HaElyon is the rock, which is this not the shul mantle. That was what the Masat Binyamin said, but the Taz is arguing against that. Taz is saying that no, that we're not talking about the shul mantle. The shul mantle that everybody knows is not what we're talking about here. The din here is with regard to. Certainly an overcoat, but more than just an overcoat. That's also also he seems to be saying a jacket which you don't wear in the house all the time. That's so. Let's just look at the shach as well, and then we'll talk it through. So v'lo asar bal ha'elyon katash b'shuvat masat binyamin perish tani mashikorim mantle aval harok chayavim likra bein al aviv yalimo bein al shah meitim. So we've got in a machloket here between the shach and the taz. That's as to what it is that one should. That one should do kriya on. Now, the complicated issue is trying to work out what the status is of a jacket. Right? Now, a jacket, looking around the room, nobody's wearing a jacket. Actually, I think I'm the only one who's got a jacket here.
Do you mean a suit jacket or like an...
Not a coat jacket. That's a blazer jacket. That's... Now, once upon a time, not so many years ago, people wore their jacket in the house. My father would never sit down at the table. Certainly, 40 years ago, he wore braces told up his trousers. He would never sit down at the dinner table, wearing his braces, without a jacket on. It was regarded as uncouth. I forget exactly the context of the conversation. Somebody telling me that she remembers her father in Newcastle in the 1950s needed to change a wheel on the car outside at night and put on his jacket and tie to go outside and change. He wouldn't be seen outside the house, even changing a wheel on the car in his shirt sleeves. Now, of course, things have changed. But, halacha sometimes responds, or Jewish practice at least, not halacha, Jewish practice sometimes responds slowly to societal change. So whilst, 50 years ago, that the person sitting shiva, would definitely do kriya on their jacket, because you wore your jacket round the house, right? Nowadays, people don't wear the jacket round the house so much. You do and you don't. It's a little bit hard to define. But you look at a Shabbat table. People sitting around, forget weekday lavush, people sitting down to Shabbat lunch, Shabbat dinner. Do people take off their jackets? Do people keep their jackets on?
Take it off, of course.
I wouldn't say of course, because lots of people keep it on.
I'm old fashioned.
You keep yours on?
Me too.
Friday night, right. Definitely. Unless it's particularly warm, I keep my jacket on.
So certainly, it's, depending on the... it'll depend on the context. It's difficult, if I'm invited to a simcha, usually, perhaps it's because I'm a rav, I feel I've got, I keep my jacket on. Now, that's not, tzniut ba'alma, in terms of, it's not just, to keep me warm or to keep the rain off me. That's, on the other hand, I don't usually sit around the house wearing my jacket. If it's cold, I'll tend to put a jumper on.
But, moreover, we understand that the rak, that you think it's a jacket,
Yes, but this is the point that the it seems to be not just a regular suit jacket that seems to be, you know, something which is not, because he says that the Taz says about the rock that it's you know, Ein Adam Lov Shobaveto. That's the point. So it seems it might be like a, I was going to say like, you know, rabbinical, you know, frock. That's, but even that, you know, I think people do wear in the house. So it might also depend on who they're with in terms of that might, you know, be the definition of what does it mean to wear it in the house. You know, that's, I don't know anybody who goes to bed wearing their jacket. That's apart from their pyjama jacket, right? So if you're sitting having dinner with your family, okay, you'll, you know, be in your shirt sleeves. But if you've got, you know, important people coming round, so you won't be. But again, you know, nowadays that's changed. You know, take Shabbat out of the equation. That's you gentlemen, you know, how many of you wear a jacket during the week?
Very rarely.
That's, you know, so jackets aren't, you know, aren't worn.
You're taking your wife for dinner in a choshev restaurant.
Oh, she always tells me wear a jumper. I say I can't wear a jumper. You never know who might see me. That's so. Rav Avadia says v'chein ein korin et hameil ha'elyon l'didan v'hainu ha'chalifa koshkein min ha'choref ha'talik hatan ha'seder. So Rav Avadia says that you don't do kriya on the on your jacket.
So what happens? What do you say? What happens if you've got a jacket or say a cardigan? Let's take a cardigan over a shirt,
right?
Which is likely. So you know you're sitting in Shiva quarters month this time of the year, and you want to wear something which is a bit warm. So according to what you're saying, on parents you've got to cut.
Well, you see, Rav Avadia
and the cardigan.
Well, yeah, I mean, you see, the minhag is. Right, the minhag is that people cut the shirt. The shirt you've definitely got to cut, right? Okay. So let's think about it for parents. Then the question is about the cardigan and or a jacket. Now, the minhag is, I think, that people do kriya on their shirt, and I think they do on a jumper. And I've seen many times, you know, people for shakrovim, they just do on the jumper. Now, Rav Avadia actually says that ein korinet ham ilha elyon, Hatalit Katan, we'll come on to Talit Katan in a moment. But Hasveda, right? So you don't tear your jumper either. That's why don't you tear your jumper? That's Sheish Liftor Mikriya Beged Shalovish Machmat Hakor. That's because you only wear it. That's because you're cold. That so, you know, you don't wear it as part of a standard. I suppose what we're saying, and just the Nukudat Machloka, I think everybody's essentially agreeing on the same point. It's really just how you define these things. But, you know, what's the definition of clothing that requires kriya? That it's something which is not just functional, but I would say essential to your wardrobe. That's, or essential to your dress, without which you would be regarded as improperly dressed. Right? Now, in different societies, you know, those will be different, you know, different things. That's and at different times, you know, society was much more formal than it, you know, 40 years ago, none of you would be sitting around this table that's in casual shirts and jumpers. You'd have all been sitting here with shirt and tie and a jacket 40 years ago, 50, 60 years ago, certainly. That's, you know, nowadays, you know, I've got a picture. That's 20 years ago, at the turn of the millennium. that we bought a book. It was a collection of 100 pictures from the Times newspaper, one for each year of the century. That's showing the mood of the year. That's, and it had a picture from the 1930s or something, you know, of a family out at a picnic. That's, and, you know, they're all dressed, you know, formally, you know, three-piece suits, ties and everything. I've got a picture of my late grandfather. This must be a picture from the, I reckon, the 1930s, of him on the beach somewhere in a three-piece suit and a Homburg hat.
Yeah, I've got a picture similar.
Right, that's, you know, so the fact that he was at the beach, you know, he didn't get sunburned, I can assure you that, right? That's, you know, you wouldn't, you know, in terms of anything less than that is not the way you'd be seen, you know, in public. That's, now, today it's different. That's, so I think really what Travavadya is saying is anything without which you would be happy to be seen in public is not regarded as a beggar as far as, you know, Kriya is concerned. Therefore, that I would dare to suggest that according to Radhavavadya, everybody just tears Kriya on their shirt. That's in terms of there's no overgarment, you know, there's no such thing, you know, in terms of both for Avvaim and Shakrovim, only, you know, only a shirt. That's, so in any event, my suggestion would be if a person is an Avel for Shakrovim, Lichora, just to do Kriya on the shirt, not to wear a jacket. Because if you wear the jacket, you get into hot water. Because if the Beget, maybe the jacket's the Beget HaElyon, so that's what you have to do Kriya on, right? And if you did on the shirt, then you're not Yotzei. But if you do just on the Beget, on the jacket, maybe the jacket is not regarded as a Beget HaElyon. That's, now I once, you know, in the context of davening, right? That's, you know, so it's a similar, you know, discussion about clothing, you know, what's, you know, what's dignified clothing for davening. I once said to someone, I said, listen, if you had a meeting with the chief rabbi, you'd wear a jacket, wouldn't you? He said to me, no. That's, you know, there's a certain point, you know, I remember once, you know, as a teenager hearing a shir, you know, from the Rav, that's of our shul, about what you should wear for davening. So he said, you know, you have to wear for davening dress like you would do if you were going to see your bank manager. That's right. I don't think, you know, people, you know, you're going to see the bank manager. Okay, you don't want to show up. If you want to take him seriously, you know, you won't show up in, you know, flip-flops, shorts and a T-shirt. But beyond that, you know, you want a loan and not, you know, you're not auditioning to become a butler at Buckingham Palace. That's, so anyhow, that's the discussion. Then there's a further discussion about Talit Katan. We're not going to look at this now. That's, the Tzitz Eliezer says that you do need to do Kriya on a Talit Katan because it's a beged. That's, and if it's not a beged, then you're not Yotzei with it. That's, but most other poskim say that you don't do Kriya on Talit Katan, and that I believe is the minhag.
Just a quick one. So the actual clause, from what we see in the poskim, is the Beit Yosef saying that what we don't have to, but I'm not sure exactly what the Beit Yosef says. The Shach and the Taz.
So the Beit Yosef, the only difference between the only difference between the Beit Yosef and the Rama, right, is that the is basically that the Beit Yosef says that you have to tear the chemise, which the Rama is understanding as a vest, and the Rama says you don't. So the Beit Yosef has recognised that you can't have it both ways. Either you don't tear the uppermost garment, or the outer garment, the over garment, or you don't tear the undergarment, because a parkas sutor can only mean one or other of them. Mm-hmm. And so the Beit Yosef says it means the over garment, but the undergarment you do have to tear. Whereas the Rama argues and says, no, we don't do either on the outer garment nor the undergarment. And then there's a machloket.
So, So the Bedes have said, you need to tell about the Beged Hazeah.
Right.
It's called this way. But not to tell about... Not to tell about the Beged HaElyon.
Correct.
So you're not Korea Beged HaElyon.
Well, I wouldn't say Beged HaElyon, because Beged HaElyon is what the Gemara says you do have to do Korea. So, I'm saying the outer garment, or the over garment.
Over Beged HaElyon garment.
Yeah, so yeah. So like a coat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the Machlok, and then the Rama says also not the Beged Hazeah.
Velo Me'il, not right. The overgarment.
Right, okay. Right, so the Rama is adding that also not the Beged Hazeah.
Yeah, okay.
Right, and then we've got the Machlok between the Shach and the Taz about what the status is of this rock. Okay, where the Shach is paskening like the Masat Binyamin, that you do have to tear Kriya on it because it's a regular item of clothing, and that there's an item of clothing that goes on top of it, which is the mantle. That, whereas the Taz holds that no, the definition of a regular item of clothing is something which you keep on in the house, that you wear even in the house. That's mm-hmm.
A rock is not an overjacket.
The rock seems to be. I mean, they didn't have jackets and over. You know, I mean, they. You know, think back to pictures of what people dressed in the in the 1700s. So whether you had a very trendy and you had a short jacket or a long jacket, whatever, you had a jacket. You know, you probably had a shirt and some sort of waistcoat, and then you had a jacket on top of that. And the question is, did you wear that jacket on top of that at home? We're not talking about just when you're home by yourself eating a bowl of cereal in front of the television. We're talking about somebody's come round to see you.
So rock is a clock, or is it something else?
A rock is a jacket. That's, for our purposes, yeah, that's what I think. That's the equivalent. The Taz says you don't do Kriya on it, and the Shach says you do. Okay, right, Vita, let's go on. Very brief. So let's go back to the Gemara then. So we've still got a few points about the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Echad ha'isha, echad isha. There's no difference in Kriya between for a man or for a woman. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer haisha korat et ha'tachton. Back in the Gemara.
First page.
The second page, in 3, where it says Prateya Kriya.
Right.
We broke off there, so we're 4 lines down. Echad ha'isha, echad isha. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer haisha korat et ha'tachton umachazirato la'achoreha. The Chosei de Korat HaTa'elyon. So Rabbi Shimon adds something. Says, yeah, it's true that a woman has a din of Kriya, but she obviously doesn't want to expose herself. So she tears the lower beged and then turns it round and then tears the upper beged so that she's, so that she's not exposed herself. So, of course, their begadim were a bit different. You know, if you think of a beged just sort of being some sort of cape or, even like a T-shirt. Our T-shirts are very carefully made. You know, they're a bit higher at the back than they are, in the front of the neck. But if you imagined it, that it was, cut a hole and it's the same, so you can wear it either way round. So you do the kriya at the front, turn it round, and then you're not exposed there. That's... Let's just touch there on the Shulchan Aruch. We're not going to go through everything. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Chata ishre chad isha shavim linyan kriya, la sheisha korat ha-tachton, umachazit rato la-achareha, chozer korat ha-elyo. Let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, Echad ha'ish ve'echad isha shavim l'inyan kriya, l'shesha korat ha'tachton, u'machazirato alachareha, v'chozeret korat ha'elyon. Kein patu b'gmar shem poskim, v'yinei zeh lufi ha'begadim shelahem. That was old-fashioned type begadim. Aval shelanu yesha lahachzir l'achareha. You can't do that with our types of begadim. Lufi zeh lishtapeik, im tshichalik kroa kol begadeh ala v'yavima. So maybe a woman doesn't have to do kriyon or kol begadeh because it would be ansanua. The year early to vimsechet smachot tanya heishenu korata ela eta elyon. So the Tanakhama says you only tear the Elyon, the upper beged. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hashar Korate Tapnimi, Vavakdola Choreha, because every Korate Tashar, Vchenu Biyushami Moed Katan, Ayn Sham. That, so that was exactly what we, you know, what we said, Rabbi Shimon said in the Gemara as well. So if you can't do that, then Rabbi Yehuda must agree with the Tanakhama of the Avel Rabbati. After the Shasham Agirsa Echata Isha Echadisha, Rabbi Shimon Alzal Omer Haisha Korata Tavtchanu Machazi Rato Ayn Sham, Lechara Mashmet Ha Tanakhama Sfirah Shein Sarach Lachso HaKera, Ela Korat Kol Begadeha Ki'ish, Vaposkin Pasku Rabbi Shimon Alzal, Mikol Makom Gdeila Hashvotim Ayushalim, Sechet Smachot Yesh Lachom Ilma, Tache Perusha Echata Isha Echadisha Tzrichim Nikra. And then Rabbi Shimon Alzal comes with Perish Kate Zatase, Or the fize le didan ena shrichalik kro kol begadeha, right? That's so 2 points here. Okay, the first point is in the Aruch HaShulchan, saying that a woman doesn't have to tear or kol begadeha because it's not tsanua for her to do so. She can't turn her clothes round, so therefore she only turns the beged ha'elyon. Now, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Tet Vav, you'll see a bit further. Hakol ha'meitim. This is talking about tying it, stitching it up again afterwards. We're not so interested in that. However, the Mechaba then says, a woman should tack up her kriya, you know, immediately, because it's not tsanua for to show even any of her lower garments. So again, you know, it'll depend what a, you know, a woman is wearing. But let's say a woman is wearing, say, she wears a t-shirt, right, and then a shirt on top of that, right? That's so if she does kriya, she should do kriya on the shirt, and she doesn't do on the t-shirt. Even if we don't hold that the t-shirt is a beged zeya. Right, that's maybe it's to keep a war, whatever. But you should still tack it up because it would be non-sanua for her to, you know, have her undershirt, you know, on display. Having said that, you know, if a woman wears, you know, say a V-neck, you know, she wears a V-neck jumper with a T-shirt under, so she'll do the kriya on the V-neck shirt, on the V-neck jumper, and it doesn't matter that the shirt is showing because it's showing anyhow.
It's a bit unusual, that, but it's really. So you say she should tack it up immediately while she's sitting shiver?
Yeah, yeah.
While she's sitting
just, shiver. Just like with a safety pin. Use a safety pin. That's not more than that. Okay, we want to move, you know, swiftly-ish. So let's look back at the Gemara. That's our kol ha'meitim kulan. Ratza mavdil kame safa shelo. Ratza. Einor mavdil. That's alavivimo mavdil. That's so for all meitim. That's you have to. This is very important. You have to make the kriya through the hem of the beged. That's so, for avimor. But for other relatives, you don't have to. Rabbi Yudome kol kriya she'einor mavdil kame safar shelo einor ela kera shel tifut. Now it always has to go through the hem. That's Amar Rabbi Abba, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, Dichtir, Vayechazat, Vivgadav, Vayikraim, Lushnaim, Kraim, Vimashon, Lushnaimah, Vayikraim, and Yodea, Shehu, Lushnaim, Ela, Shenirin, Kruim, Kishnaim. You have to see that it's been torn into two. Al Kolam Eitim, that's Kulan, Sholel, Achar, Shiva, Umachel, Achar, Shloshim. So for other relatives, you can tack it up after Shiva, and mend it properly after Shloshim. For parents, you can only tack it up after Shloshim, and you can never fully mend it. As we saw. So for other relatives, it doesn't matter whether you tear it by hand or with a knife. It has to be with your hands. Okay, so in practical terms, with modern clothing, you have to cut through the hem with scissors, and then you pull it apart. The point is, you can't tear it without getting through the hem without using scissors. That's just practically. Rama Rabbi Kiva Bar Ava Amar Rabbi Yochanan and Kol Amitim Kulam Mibifnim Al Aviv V'Animo Korem Mibachutz. So there's a machloket what that means. That it seems the way that we paskin is that it means for parents you do the kriya publicly. That's whereas for Sharkrofim, you do it not in front of everybody. So I just want to flag up a few more things. That so if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, so if you'd Gimel at the bottom of the fourth page, it must be. That's Kol HaMeitim Yesh Lo Likro Bifnim Shelo Bifnei Adam. You do it privately. Fichach Yesh Lo Lachnis Yado Bifnim Korei Abetzina Al Aviv V'Imo Einu Korei Lo Mibachutz Bifnei Kol Adam. Then we've got the question about the Yad and the Keli. That's and let's look at if you're done. It's very important here. Kol HaMeitim Ratzak Korei B'Yad Ratzak Korei B'Keli. Al avivim or biyad. Then next in is very important. Kol ha'meitim im ba lachlif tof zayin yamim machalif einu korea. So for other relatives, you want to change your begadim. You want to change clothes during shiva. Yeah, your clothes are dirty, sweaty, smelly. You could do so. You can't put the separate dinners. You can't put on clean laundry. But you got a shirt that you wore. You know, you wore your pink shirt on Monday and you hang it back in the cupboard. You were going to wear it on Wednesday again, and then you became an avil on Tuesday. So Friday, you can decide to wear your pink shirt again. Machalifa ino korei. You can change your clothes. You don't need to do kriya again. Al aviv v'imoy machalif toch zayin. Korea kolam gadim shehu machalif. You have to do kriya on the clothes that you're changing into. Ve'inu machal olam kumum famarishon. So particularly what we've got here is a din that, and this is very important, chakira, that for alpha aim, there's a din of wearing a beged karua. For the whole shiva, you need to be libomagule. You need to have all your garments torn and your heart exposed. For alpha, for shakrovin, there's simply a din of kriya. You have to do a mice of kriya. And afterwards, you want to take it off, you want to change your shirt, you can do so. That's just two more points to touch on. One is the din of Kriya B'Shah Yitziyat Neshama. So that is that there's a din of tearing Kriya that when you experience, when you're present, when a person dies, that's because a person is, you know, has done many mitzvot during the course of his life. He's a living Sefer Torah. That, and therefore you have to do kriya, even if you're not a relative. That's so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings down that nowadays we are we're makel about it. That, and we do the kriya, but you can do it. It's just a small kriya b'shulei habeged. So you don't have to do a regular kriya. You can just, you know, snip an inch at the bottom of your shirt. You know, and then you tuck it back into your trousers. That's good enough.
Not to be a tefach.
No. What's his last one? Sagi b'kriya mu'etet. V'afilim in ha'tzad or b'shulei ha'veged sagi. That's in the final halacha. Just wanted to touch on. That is Sif Lamed Aleph, where the Mechaber says, Ava b'chol ha'moed korin ha'kol echad k'fi mashehu. You haven't got it on your pages. That's been Shulchan Aruch Sif Lamed Aleph. It says that on Chol HaMoed you do kriya. Then the Rama says, correct. You don't sit shiva,
yeah,
but you still, because the din of kriya is not. Remember, this is not Hilchat Aveilut yet.
Okay.
It's a separate din. That's even where there's no shiva. That's not quite true, but even where you're not yet sitting shiva, you know, you've got shat chimum here, so you do kriya. The Yeshomrin, the Rama says, Nogin she'en likra b'chol ha'moed. Okay, so you don't do kriya. Rak al aviv v'imo. Okay, only on parents. V'al shar meitim korin lachar ha'moed. Other relatives, you do the kriya after Yom Tov, when you start the shiva. For makom she'en minhag, Yeshlik Kroal Kulam. So if there's no Minhag, follow the Mechaber, because that's the straightforward din, is that you do Kriya for everybody. That seems to be the practice of Sfardim. At Ashkenazim, there are some places where the Minhag is only to do for Avayim. So it seems that's the Minhag of the United Synagogue. Minhag of the United Synagogue is only to do for Avayim on Kol HaMoed. That's and everybody else does on Motzei Yom Tov. Okay, so there's more to be said, but that's the Rashi Prakim a little bit more. That's okay. We've got a.